Yesterday, many of the news stations had people in helicopters looking, photographing what was happening. They didn't realize that they had an opportunity to make a unique bracha that almost that none of us have ever been zocheh to make. That when you see 600,000 Jews together, there's a specific bracha you make. And the Gemara says you only do it in Eretz Yisrael. So, of course, down in the crowd, you couldn't see 600,000 people. But anyone in the helicopters could see the whole thing. Fortunately, they weren't focusing, and they didn't realize. It's a unique opportunity to make a very special bracha that very rarely one is able to make. Chaim Kanievsky was a very unusual human being. And people related to him in a weird way without realizing and understanding who the essence of the human being was. He's a man who had only one desire in life, only one thing he wanted to do in life, only one thing he tried to do in life. Sit and learn Torah nonstop. It's the Masmer Ador. And his drive to learn Torah was unparalleled. And his drive to learn Torah meant, because it was nonstop in an unparalleled way, that he was able, through his nonstop drive, his intense concentration while learning, was able to master the Kol HaTorah Kula and be in total control of it. But that came out of a superhuman drive. Don't say human, he was a human being. And every human being, every one of us is born, Elokai Neshama, Shinusat to be Tohore. But it's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everyone us a Neshama. And life is what we do with the Neshama. What he was able to do was take that, and the Rambam says in the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, two things, Havino Mado, had a deep understanding what's important in life, what's not important in life, and he, Nod Varucho, and that deep understanding inspired him for this non-stop desire to learn Torah and learn Torah and Torah. That's all he did. Now, different people reacted differently at the time of Petiva. Of course, the Chevrei Knesset, we used to nudnik the life out of him, who were going to go to nudnik the life out of anymore. Different thought passed through my mind. Different thought, and that goes back to the shmooze I gave last week. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael unique koach. V'chaya yolam nota basochein. Klal Yisrael, through their Torah and mitzvahs, increase the Kedush in this world, or Chas V'Shalom, increase the Torah in this world. When Klal Yisrael did their Averis, Vayosah HaMelech as Tabato, he took his Tabas over and gave it to Haman. What does that mean? And the Gemara says, Gedolah HaSaras HaTabas. Unbelievable. It was just HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave the power in this world in the hands of Koach HaTumah of Haman HaRosh. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? So that's what Esther said, Mazeh V'Al Mazeh. What is it, and what happened, and why did it happen? And Mordechai told her about the Gezerah and said, it happened because of the falling of various Klal Yisrael. And then Esther says, I can't do anything about it. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given that koach to Haman. Because Klal Yisrael, through our various didn't increase the koach of Kedusha in this world, increase the koach hatumah in this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's what Klal Yisrael is doing, will give the power in this world to a man who represents everything against the Klal Yisrael. And then, what it has to say, I need absolute tshuva. 3 days of fasting, absolute tshuva. And only then can I go into the melech. In the end, Vayosa HaMelech Tabach or Shehevi Lohamah Vehevi LeMordechai. He says, wait a second. I saw already on a different level of Kedusha, and I can give the Koach in this world to the Koach of Kedusha of Mordechai rather than the Koach HaTumah of Hamas. But who makes that decision whether the Koach HaKedusha runs in this world, the Koach HaTumah runs in this world? That's Klal Yisrael by the Mitzvahs Neraveiros. During the Second World War, it was for a strange reason, for a short period of time, in between Germany and Russia, they agreed to create the independent country of Lithuania. And the Jews, all of a sudden, were in Lithuania, and neither the Germans nor the Russians were coming in. And yeshivas were able to function. As yeshivas were functioning in this independent Lithuania, there first, I don't know who first, there were two yeshivas that were the mainstay that appointed two magidei shir, two masmidei ador, the Gdolei HaRosh yeshivas were Reb Shimon Shkop and Reb Baruch Ber. Shimon and Reb Baruch Ber. And the yeshivas were strong. And then, in a Shemayim, Reb Baruch Ber was nifter, Reb Shimon was nifter. And at that point, when Reb Chaim Oizer heard, the news came to Reb Chaim Oizer, he said, okay, Germany now has the power to come out of the loop. What did Reb Chaim Oizer mean by that? If the Koach HaTorah was strong, that itself would stand up as an impediment to Hitler and all his armies, and to Stalin and all his armies. But the moment that got weakened with the death of Reb Baruch Ber, or the death of Reb Shimon, Eino Chanami, people continue to learn, it came down, Chaim Oizer said, okay, now Hitler's going to come into Lithuania. What has gone from the world with the Petira of Chaim Kanievsky as a Masmer Ador, is that intense Liman HaTorah that he continued for his entire life that sustained the world. People, and I've stopped, you know, I always thought the people who believed Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim, they didn't believe in Reb Chaim. They didn't believe in what he stood for. No shaykhus what he stood for. People who would fly in from who knows where on their private airplanes to walk into his deal, which is a 2x0, while he's and try to interfere with his learning to get a picture with him, ask some stupid question, do they believe in his what it was and what he was not? Because Reb Chaim, there was once a kvittel he gave in a certain situation. Someone went, what was the kvittel? What did he want? And it was, b'nei bonim, bonim u'b'nei bonim tamidei chachomim, shelo yafriu olsim ehalimud. People stop bothering my limud Torah. But he had a very big problem. Like a lot of Gdol Yisrael had that problem. He had it maybe to the extreme. He's a very nice, gentle person, wanted to do chesed with people. Found it very hard to tell people no. So all the nundiks in the world found themselves able to take absolute advantage of his midas hachesed. Without realizing, wait a second, am I doing it for my stupidity? Or does this justify interfering with the limud HaTorah, the Masmer Ador? Sometimes he would answer any and every question people asked. Any and every question. I was amazed at the questions and the answers. I was amazed at it. I often thought of a story with Moshe Feinstein. Anyone who came with a sefer, any sefer, Moshe for Haskoma, Moshe would give Haskoma. So, of course, that meant Moshe Feinstein's Haskoma meant nothing. He'd give it to everybody. So someone once asked Moshe, if you give a Haskoma to every sefer, it doesn't mean anything, so isn't this cheapening? He says, listen, everyone wants my name on their sefer. And everyone in advance knows it doesn't mean anything. But they want it, so why shouldn't I do a ches and give it to them? See, but people, he enabled people without their realizing that his godliness and his value to the generation was not at the ability to ask him every stupid question. Should I paint my daughter's bedroom pink or blue? I don't think he got all the, or maybe it should be yellow. He would say, yeah, yeah, smile and give an answer. Okay. Why? If it meant something to this Jew to ask me whether his daughter's bedroom should be pink, blue, or yellow, and he wants to hear what I have to say, it's a chesed to do it to. Now, that is a person on one hand. Now, the person who asked that, he could have thought one or two things. He could have thought, okay, I'm going to really, Minas Shemayim, that is the decision. If he was stupid, he'd think, Minas Shemayim, the Urim V'Tumim has said, no, my daughter's bedroom should be pink. Another person would have said, no, it's just my opportunity to make a kasher with it. And a third person would say, what chutzpah do you have to take the masna ador to waste his time to ask him every piece of stupidity in the world? But his chesed, that was all part of the genuine chesed that someone who shakua in learning understands that he's chayev. And unfortunately, the people began to identify him more. Now I was thinking at the Levaya, are people there, Reb Chaim, the Masmer Ador, who controlled the entire Torah? Well, I'm there for the man who told me to paint my daughter's bedroom pink. And it allowed me to think that the Urim V'Tumim and it's Minas Shemayim and it's an Aveira Chamur if I painted blue. I was wondering. Of course, that made him beloved to a lot of people. Because he would answer any and every question anyone ever asked him. Because he thought, very simple. It meant if it helped the Yiddishkeit somehow and helped it, the Torah mitzvahs, it helped their whatever thing, and it maybe gave them a good feeling, I should do that. That's my chesed. On the other hand, people use that in a crazy, absurd way. And unfortunately, they didn't realize there's a price. The price is his potential biggest contribution to the door. Wasn't what color to paint your daughter's bedroom. It was the Koach HaKdusha he added to the world through his incredible Hasmoda. He wrote a Sefer Derech Hamuna, four Chalokim and Ram Hilchos Zroyim. It's a classic. Now, only someone who had absolute mastery of the entire Torah could have written that Sefer. And it's very clear from anyone who spent time with the sefer, knowing that that sefer can only have been written by someone who had a total mastery. Now, he was such a masmid that he counted seconds that he wasn't learning. Counted seconds. Wasn't he counted hours he wasn't learning? Counted minutes he wasn't learning? He counted seconds he wasn't. And sometimes he'd speak to people in Rosh Tevis just to save a few seconds that he could put into learning. That was the mitzvah of the man. And that was a degem, an example of something unparalleled in our generation. And people talked about the mastery of Torah he had, but they forgot where that mastery of Torah came from. That single-minded desire to do nothing in this world but learn Torah. And the davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let all those nudniks get away from me so I'll be able to learn Torah. Now it is part of the tafkid of a man of Gedolei Talmidei Chacham, give hanahoga to the tzibur. It's part. And the Meshech HaDoros, they always did that. But that was always done in an intelligent way, that the people who would accept his hadrocha to of Gedolei Talmidei Chacham and would go to them for hadrocha. One of the most upsetting pictures I saw was shortly after his patira, the former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu comes liparet to say goodbye to his friend Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And today, Benny Gantz came to Menachem Oval to say about the galus of Chaim Kanievsky. Benny Gantz has been fighting against Yeshiva Bochum's learning Torah. Did he understand who the Metzius of the man was? No. Metzius of the man was, there's one value in this world, and there's only one value in this world. That's Liman HaTorah. And the achievement he had for the tzibur, the greatest achievement he had for the tzibur, is, first of all, the idea that such hasmoda increases the koach of kedusha in this world, that among the things that protect us in crazy times is that koach of kedusha. In the Gulf War, when people were nervous, if Shach's comment then, well, bombs falling in Bnei Brak, and Chaim Oris's comment about the Germans coming in after Baruch Be'er and Reb Shimon, if there was Pachos Yosef the same, Shach said it independently. Shach said, with the Koyach HaTorah of Reb Chaim Kanievsky here, there's no way a missile can land here. And in Bnei Brak. What's he saying? So Torah protects. But not Torah you're waking up, wandering into Beis Medrash, 10 o'clock in the morning. No. So we talked about what is the reason for Amalek? Rofu Yidehem Divrito. What's the reason for the Gzer Haman? The Gemara says, Megillah Daf Yud Aleph, Yisatzlu B'Divrito. Not taking it to real seriousness. And that taking it with seriousness, with the extreme seriousness which Chaim did, that's what protects a generation. Taking it with the seriousness of Baruch Be'er and Reb Shimon did, that's what protects a generation. And the biggest disaster is it's not that he's no longer available to ask whether your daughter's bedroom should be pink, blue, or yellow. Is that koyach hakdusha of his intense asmod is gone. Number one. Number two, Chazal tell us, Nehara, or Shbaruch who brings a serious gzeira, is certain tzaddikim in the stalik. Why? Because Klal Yisrael has a certain iron dome. What's that iron dome called? The Koach HaKedusha that certain people give to this world. Kadosh Baruch Hu has to eliminate the Iron Dome sometime. I'm not saying what happens now. I'm not a Navi, I don't put, and none of us are Navi. But certainly, Yor Chaim HaKadosh has two pshatim, what it means. That before Tzman Ro'ah, Tzadik is the Tzadik from the world. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away that protective shield. The other is different. The other says, no. When we realize that that protective shield has been taken away from us, that should be mechayev us with that image that is left with us, that we have to intensify everything. We have to be mashlamit. And if we're not mashlamit, then sorrows come to us. Reb Chaim, the Masmer Ador, is an example that a person who's kulo Torah is besimcha. I don't think anyone ever saw a picture, the 10 million different pictures of him. Did anyone ever see a picture of him not smiling a lot? He was the happiest guy in the world. The happiest guy in the world. What? Because he had all the money in the world? No. Didn't he? What did he have? Had a 2x0 dira. And if you ever saw his shreir of Eliyahu's dira, the same 2x0 dira. He was very happy. He was always happy. He was able to learn Torah. That's the biggest happiness in the world. Always happy. But he was always made himself, if answering the question, what your daughter's bedroom should be painted, is going to make a Jew feel good, I want to make a Jew feel good. He knew as much about painting his daughter's bedroom. But if he could say it's yellow, it's blue, it's green, it's purple, whatever, the Jew would feel good. So I'll tell him it's yellow, blue, green, or purple, whatever. If I say it makes no difference, he won't feel so good. So I'll say it has to be yellow. That concern that to make every Jew feel good and at the expense of that which is most valuable in his life is Limud HaTorah. And that was the Degem for us. Now, there are two Doros. There are the Doro people, the last few people who lived from before the war, and the people who grew up after the war. There's a little boy, but he was born in Pinsk, in today's Belarus, then Russia, sometimes Lithuania, whatever, as the borders moved. But that unique he got from the European door, he was born in Europe, grew up with Chazon Ish, Stipler, his father and uncle, those were his degim, and they inspired him to an unbelievable degree. And Chazon Ish, Stipler, they took their Limud HaTorah and they used it to have a massive impact on the door. He also took his Limud HaTorah and had a massive impact on the door. But a lot of people sort of misguided the impact. Rather than seeing in him, which Talmid Chacham did, his absolute control of the Torah, and the fact that a human being can be such a masman and can control the whole thing, that's what we should have gotten from him. Now, when a person's nifter, question is, what does he leave over to the world? He leaves over two things to the world. The specific things that he did. And what lessons he leaves that people should be mamshich. The Torah, the Haftorah at the end of Parshas Balos, it's also Haftorah Shabbos Chanukah. Binyan by Sheni. Navi's talking to Yeshua Kohen Gadol. Yeshua Kohen Gadol It says, Yeshua ha'yelovesh b'gdoyim tzoim, v'omid l'fnei ha'malach. He had dirty clothes. Well, what were the dirty clothes? Zal tell us he had two sons who married non-Jewish women. Yeshua Kango. Vayam v'yomer. Ha'malach said, hosir b'gdoyim tzoim ha'yelovesh. Take him off. And he said, put him on clean clothes. And put him on all the big day kuna. Now, what was Yeshua Kohen Gadol concerned about? He's concerned about what is he leaving over in this world. Because when you go up to the Olam Hamas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't only judge for what you did in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges you for what you left over and the hashpa you had in this world, how it continues. The Malach says, This is how Kodesh Baruch Hu, why did Kodesh Baruch Hu get rid of those dirty clothes? So the Gra has a kasha. He says, he's worried about what's going to happen to him in Olam Haba. And the pasuk says, "I'll make you a holech bein ha'omdim." Now, this is talking about when you're alive or when you're dead. He says, "When a person's alive, he's not nomad. He's either going ahead or going back. He's either growing or getting stronger or getting weaker. No one in this world, while he's alive, is static. They're going up or down. So, if there's a time that he's going to be walking, when people are standing." So, it means it has to be an Olam Haba. There's some people who leave zero impact in this world. There's no continuity to them. So when they're judged in Olam Hamas, it's only for what they did. They left no hashpa l'tov l'ra. Their lives were a sort of blip on the screen. Came, went, and gone. But he says, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell? He says, you're going to be the Kohen Gadol now at the beginning of Bayis Sheni. And you are the one who's instructed to structure and create a whole Torah life around the Beis HaMikdash for Bayis Sheni. Yimata Todin is basic. The Tishma is Chatzerai. And you will set that up. And Bayis Sheni will continue as a spiritual fortress in Klal Yisrael, then you'll be a Mahalich Ben Ha'omdin. You'll continue walking. Because all those things that happen as a result are going to keep growing and growing because the person is judged for all the results of what he did in this world. That's the way the Gra explains it. Shimuna Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Ata v'reyecha Yoshua l'fanecha. Okay. You and your chevra that are now establishing the life, the Torah life in Bayis Sheni, this is your opportunity. The person, Reb Chaim left a tremendous Yerusha. The Sfarim he wrote, left another Yerusha, that his basic single ideology is one thing that counts in this world and only thing one counts in this world. And that is intensely monetary legal. Now, it's very interesting. 40 years ago, it was the Mas Menador. Where did he sit? He sat in the corner and sat in the Yom of Elijah. He was interested in COVID, zero plus zero times zero, completely zero. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite wisdom decided to propel him in the public eye to see that even in this generation, it's possible to have a kulo Torah. Now people say, yeah, that was possible in the Vilna Gaon's time. Possible here. Today it's a different world. No. He left him alive 94 years so that everyone could see non-stop Liman HaTorah is possible even in this world. And even if you're sitting and learning in a corner, Kadosh Baruch Hu holds that you are, can be an example to a generation. He's going to propel you to be an example to that generation. He didn't seek it. He didn't want it. Not at all. But Kadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite wisdom decided, I'm going to show this door that it's possible for someone even in the year 2022. Incredible how smart of the same, how smart of 200 years ago. It's possible today. And that's an example Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted every one of us to see, to an example where we can go and what we can do with ourselves.